Recording started. Great, thank you so much. I'll go ahead and share screen. I'm going to share screen for the agenda, and I'll post it in the chat so everybody can keep up. Okay, so today is the 22nd of April, and we are meeting today with the Regulatory Reporting Data Model Working Group. We're meeting as part of the Linux Foundation, and as a Linux Foundation meeting, we are operating under the antitrust policy listed at the website on this slide. If you have any questions, please seek guidance from our partners from the Linux Foundation that are here today. I think we've got some new people from Connecticut. We're going to go through a quick round of introductions. And then we're going to start off with a word from our chair of the Regulatory Reporting Steering Committee. And then we're going to turn that into a discussion from there, really trying to level set and define what is the MVP data model that we're looking at. And then with time that we have left, we're going to talk about where we are with regards to that MVP. So without any, so breaking right into introductions, I'll start off. My name is Peter Antley. I work with AIS as a solutions architect, and I contribute to this meeting significantly. Robin is the chair of our Regulatory Reporting Steering Committee, and I'll let her say hello next.
Hi, everyone. Chair of the Steering Committee for Reg Reporting, also General Counsel for AIS, so government affairs, compliance, all of those areas in AIS. Peter, are we going to do more introductions, or how do you want to handle this?
Let's see. So I think do we have some new people from Connecticut that would like to introduce themselves?
If you're new and want to introduce yourself, please do so right now.
Wan Chin there in the room?
I definitely got the invite out.
And how about Hisham? Are you there, Hisham?
Ping them and make sure they got the email. Sometimes stuff goes to junk stuff. I'm not seeing them on the list of people. Yep. So
let me reach out to them. And, okay.
Great. So then with that, if you can get them in later, we'll definitely take a moment and do it and say hello. Robin, I guess if you wanted to start, and then after that, I think George, if you wanted to maybe reiterate some of the thoughts that you had before we took the break for Good Friday, I think that'd be great.
Cool. Thank you. I'll try to do this as quickly as I can. But I do want to take this kind of opportunity because I don't participate in the meetings, but I obviously talk to a lot of the folks who are participating in the meetings and kind of monitoring the progress as the steering committee chair. So one of the things that has kind of become, I don't say concerning, but it's something that we've obviously have to kind of work through is that there's kind of different camps about how to approach the data model and the standard here. And then there's the group of let's just get what stat reporting is right now. Let's formalize it in this standard and prove it can be done. It's a legitimate approach. There's the camp of stat reporting's not really working, so let's do something different. Legitimate approach. And then there's kind of everything in between those two things. So I think that, you know, one of the reasons that, and I always get a little preachy about this, we don't approach this as traditional voting. We try to approach it as consensus building, right? Which means that you kind of have to have empathy for the other person's perspective on this to get to a middle ground, to have progress, to move forward. First and foremost, this standard, while it is a legitimate exercise to support the current statistical reporting activity, because that is what companies are doing right now, and it will take some effort through Sandra's working group at the NAIC to change that perspective and that mandate, I really want to take just a few minutes and talk about what the statistical reporting mandate really is, because we do a lot of this work out of muscle memory and perception that is not necessarily 100% accurate, right? All right, so as part of the exercise of what we were doing inside of AAIS, we basically went back to square one, and if you've been around us any amount of time, you know that we ask the question why a lot. So when we started doing the statistical reporting and we started to try to dig back into why are we doing this again, and because of the things that we needed to do to make sure that our members were, that their data was being reported and we were acting in the statistical agent capacity that we should be, we went back and we started researching all of the statistical reporting mandates in statute and rule and the stat reporting handbook, right? How that's permeated kind of our thought processes and what we do. Now, as an advisory organization and statistical reporter, I get audited, which I'm in the middle of going through at this very moment, for my performance of that. But it's interesting to note when you get back down to actually surveying and the legal research around where's this written down? What are the rules? You start to see that it's not what we think it is. And so when we looked at this and we've contacted all 50 states, we've done research in all 50 states, almost all the states have some provision around collecting statistical data. Okay. Usually in the category of losses and experience. Okay. The problem is that most of them do not have a very specific written mandate or statute or rule or reg that determines what that is. As a matter of course, only 4 states have adopted the stat reporting handbook by statute. We have a couple of others that when we contacted it verbally, they said, oh yes, we follow the handbook, but they didn't necessarily have it in reg or rule or adopted by statute. We have a handful of states, we have a majority of states, 23 or 24 states that have rules for collection of statistical data, no reference to the stat reporting handbook, but have something in statute about collecting. Texas is a really good example of that. They have a very defined stat plan that's actually codified. And then you have like Illinois, who has a cost containment reporting, which is very detailed. So that's their kind of version of statistical reporting. But for the most part, there's a variance between those 20 states, even by the line of business. It's not generally a comprehensive, thou shalt report all PNC lines of business in the handbook style. It's sometimes very specific to the state. Now, we're going to post this work. This is all in Excel spreadsheets, all the work we did, every rule, every reg, every reference. And then we also contacted every state. We pretty much talked to all but about 2 states. What are you doing? Is there any specific rule we can't find? Who does this go to in your department? There was a comment a couple of weeks ago in one of the stat reporting working group from Bernie Birnbaum about, he's contacted states and asked for copies and either we're not doing the work or something's happening. Yes, the stat reports are being sent. No, they are not consistently sent in any particular method. Most of the format is around the stat reporting handbook, although that's not necessarily a mandate or a written requirement from many of these states. So I just want everyone to understand that we're busy doing an activity. And even as a stat reporter, we're busy doing this activity on behalf of the companies we stat report for, but we're doing it without real, cohesive and, required in a sense of a legal requirement. We're doing this work without that being really written down anywhere for the most part in any consistent way. So when we're talking about let's do stat reporting, and you have a bunch of folks say, wait a minute, you know, that's not really that cool of us as a regulator or as a consumer advocate. That this is why, because at the essence of it, we don't understand, or we have forgotten the why. And much of that is again, it's, oh, the stat agents work together. So that leads to another conclusion. So fast track reporting, you go try to find that in statute or rule. It's in the handbook. There's a very small reference to fast track reporting. And that presumes that all the stat agents got together and decided which companies they thought, right, should be stat reporters that are fast track reporters and which aren't. And what are the metrics? How do you determine that? None of that's transparent. None of that's written down. And so we do a lot of things out of muscle memory, right? Things we think are required that we need to start thinking about the why again. So I'm going to post all of these on the wiki, all the research. You're welcome to do your own. You're welcome to challenge it. It's just what we found when we were trying to make sure that we understood what our requirements were as a statistical agent. So that kind of leads me to the next part of this. So in a couple of weeks, May 10th, we will have our regulatory reporting steering committee. There are a few of you guys that are members of the steering committee. If you're not, I invite you to go on and get on that list so you get the notifications. We have, under our charter, there will be 10 voting members of that steering committee, and that's to make sure that we start to give good policy decisions around direction to both the working group, and if you read the charter, it's all out on the wiki, that we are able to strategically work to support the work that's going on in the Stat Handbook Revision Committee at the NAIC and other working groups around data at the NAIC. So going into that May 10th meeting right now, and those voting members have to be approved by the governing board of OpenIDL. Right now, I've only taken, I think, 3 folks who asked to be on that. It's been by, you know, volunteer up until now. So Eric Lowe, George Bradner, and Kim Brown from the Hanover, Andy Case from Mississippi, Eric is Virginia, George is Connecticut, as you guys probably all know. If you are interested in being a voting member, and generally the charter, I think, calls for the 10 voting members to have equal representation from the regulatory community and from the company side. If you're interested, I will be happy to submit those applications or those requests up to the governing board at their next meeting to get this to a 10 party voting members. Again, there can be other members, and I'm hoping that the voting membership doesn't have a significant split either, that we go to consensus. Again, I'm kind of sensitive about the whole idea of voting when our whole purpose is to get to a consensus that everybody can commit to and agree to move the projects forward. So a couple of deliverables from you folks going into that Reg Reporting Steering Committee. Number one, if you're interested, please email me that you're interested in being a voting member, and I will put it on the agenda for the governing board, and they may and they can make their decisions around those 10 voting members. Number two, even if you're not interested in being a voting member, please go sign up on the wiki or on the sheet to make sure you attend. And then I will be also posting, and then here's the third deliverable. Lori and I will work to get this posted on the wiki, our results of our research around statistical reporting and the information that we got as we talked to each of the states individually that we're able to get on calls with. We'll put all that on the wiki so you can review it. And then I will also be formulating an agenda for that steering committee meeting. To me, this is a very important steering committee. I would like participation, but I would also like that this, what I've said right here, to start guiding some of the discussions in this working group around what we really want to create when we're creating a standard, because Yes, it is important to be responsive to the regulatory requirements. There's no question about that. The problem is that that's not necessarily clearly stated or technically mandated by law or regulation. And second part of that is that when we talk to many of these states, they don't know, they get this in and they have no idea what to do with this report when we send it. It's not generally in a digestible format. I think there is valuable information in what's being reported from statistical data, but it's not very user-friendly to the person who's getting it. And I'll give you an example. Many times when we were trying to work through some of the issues we were having with stat reporting, I would get the report and I would look at it as a lawyer and go, well, that's really interesting. It doesn't mean a darn thing to me. It's a bunch of numbers and columns and information that probably means something to someone else, but not to me. And just remember, you would have been sending that to me in the Florida department at one point. So how we get that information, how we show it, it's problematic to say the least. The regulators are not getting much value out of that. I had one regulator specifically say, yeah, I got that last week. What am I supposed to do with that again? And that kind of got echoed more than once in the conversation. So the data is getting to them. It's not meaningful in the format it's in, which brings to kind of the second thing, which I pushed for, is a dashboard design, right? If we would like to take some of the elements that are currently in statistical reporting, it'd be very helpful to know what does a regulator really want to know from that? Maybe it is general loss experience. Maybe it is, something much broader that can eventually we can drill down to. But please keep in mind that right now, what we're doing is not creating a vast amount of value for the regulators. And as far as I can tell, no value for the companies. So how do we make it valuable for both regulators and the companies that are viewing some of this information coming in? All right, so I'm going to get off my soapbox now and understand, again, you guys got a couple of assignments. If you're interested in the Regulatory Reporting Steering Committee and being a voting member, I need your interest so I can get it to the governing board. If you just want to come listen and hear this kind of strategy, your voice can be heard there, please get on the mailing list. Third deliverable is mine and Lori's to post this information that we've gathered around stat reporting. And the fourth thing is that we'll get this agenda sent out for the steering committee. Please participate in that. And please let what I've kind of mentioned, what I've talked about here, govern some of the discussions going forward here in the working group. Okay, peace out. I'm done.
Hey, Robin, can I ask you a quick question?
Yes,
did you
ma'am.
Say that the reports that are due to the NAIC in March every year are not mandated in any way?
I think, now I haven't explored that, but I do believe that's a data call that happens, that sort of like on the BI data call where the states opted in to participate. But I unless there's some order that I don't know about or some data call that's been issued like that, I'm assuming it got issued like that one did. And that it's just now it's, again, muscle memory that, either that they operate under what's been existing over time. But that it's not hard coded to statute.
Yeah, Robin, you're correct. That's a voluntary data call from the NAIC to the stat data reporting. Stat agents.
Yeah.
Interesting. Thank you.
Yeah. So it kind of shapes your thought around, okay, we're doing so. And again, it's not, I don't want to discount and say it's not valuable work. I really do think it is, but I think we need to come to some agreement about how do we get to more valuable, right? How do we step through? How do we give tools to the NAIC, to Sandra as she's working on the handbook or what replaces the handbook? How do we give better resources and how do the companies get benefit out of this? Because you're doing a lot of work that you're not, that the only thing we can say is that we checked the box, right? We did it. And you're not getting value back into your companies from the work you're doing.
Yeah, so I think, Robin, I think this is great background, good, great understanding. So love the numbers of the states and look forward to seeing some of that research. I think the way, I think there's a couple ways to look at this though. From a statistical plan perspective, it feels as though the data that's in there is valuable. We absolutely 100% agree it's not being consumed. And from an industry perspective, we get no benefit from it. So I think at least from travelers' perspective, as we've been looking at this, we feel that that's what OpenIDL is going to give us. It's going to give, first it's going to give the regulators the ability, we love the dashboard idea, or if it's just the aggregated data in a form that's consumable, which is going to be electronic, fabulous. Regulators get to use that and get to do great stuff with it. And if we as an industry, in an anonymous and aggregated perspective, can look at our data compared to total industry, phenomenal, right? And that's the great step. And then I think the last point is, this is the data that we collect today. If we needed to collect other data, we're talking 12 months before we can get to it. And I think that's why, you know, from a traveler's perspective, we continue to go down that path of, we believe using the auto statistical plan is the best approach to see if this thing works. That's just where we've been. So I think regardless of whether the states require us to do anything, this is what's available to us as an industry, as a company, I'll say that. It takes 12 months to get any other data points because we just don't collect it. And then you got to start collecting it.
Well, I here's kind of my response on that. I think we ought to look and sooner than later, look at those elements that we are collecting and see what dashboard appears, see what is consumable, what makes a difference, right? You know, I know that the NAIC has done some really good work, especially around the auto reports and things that go out, moving it to Tableau type interfaces and things. We need to start looking at how we take this data and start projecting, you know, what we do in a fashion that's consumable by everyone. I think everybody would be interested. Your dashboard will look different, right? As a company, your dashboard will be, you know, your part to, no one else has to see, right? But your part to what the whole is. The regulators will have a different view. They'll have the whole view. So I think that, you know, it's time to start looking at how is the output going to structure what we do from here on in replicating the work in the data standard. Any other questions? Going to put that work out there. I appreciate you guys' time. Please just start thinking about, you know, we really have to look at, and I think there is valuable data there. You guys have to figure out what that is and what it looks like in an output that is digestible to everyone to show that value. Because just doing the work and doing it this way, it's not going to prove as much as we want it to unless it has a value other than just proving we can do stat reporting in the OpenIDL.
So are we at a crossroads again, or do we have marching orders, or where are we right now?
So I'm drawing up a lucid chart I'm about to share. And what I was thinking is I think it'd be good for us to just really lock down exactly what that MVP is. I like the words that you said about using the AIS stat plan. And I think let's just work through and just kind of confirm that. And like, so we can really write down somewhere that exactly where our MVP is so that we kind of have a North Star was my thought. Okay, can we see the lucid chart?
Can do.
Okay, cool. So I think the first part that I liked about what Brian said is what is available today? And so we got the AIS stat plan and we got those data elements. So George, I guess, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we were discussing, you know, what is the value in starting here? Do we still have objections to trying to start in here?
Well, the only thing is, you know, we spent time originally, if we go back to Eric's original Excel spreadsheet, and then we started filling in here, this is statistical reporting, this is required from a statistical reporting perspective, and this is additional information, and we captured all that. So I don't understand, you know.
Okay, so I can definitely provide some context for that. So we definitely have a plan for where we'd like to go, but when we talk to the carriers, they're saying that once we come up with a plan to bring in new elements, then they have to start collecting that data, and that data does not become available until a significant amount of time after we've requested it. So if we take ourselves and hold ourselves on saying we don't want to move forward until we have that data, and it really affects our overall timelines. And then when we start thinking about, we took Eric's policy and we went through it, we said, okay, there's a lot of stuff on here that's good. There's some stuff we can do immediately. And there's some stuff we can do even farther down the road. We definitely need a plan for updating the versions of this model. And so once we can come to agree with that, then it's saying, what is the minimum model that we need such that the TSC and the architecture working group can say, okay, we have something concrete. Now we need to validate that our tech stack is going to work with this model, knowing that we're going to come out with a version 2 model as soon as we can agree on what's going to be on the version 2 model. Because that's part of what the architecture working group, the TSC, has to handle is how do we add new attributes?
I know, but we identified a lot of that information, and I hate to have that disappear. And
has not disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've always said, yes, you know, we need to meet the statistical reporting need. But as we scope it out so that it can be expanded, you know, fairly quickly. It doesn't have to, you know, you've already done the architecture. You don't have to go back and figure out how do we fit this information in? Where do we put it? How do we, you know. It would just make sense as you're talking about the architecture that you're keeping all this, you know, all the information in mind, so the architects understand what we ultimately want, not just focused on statistical reporting.
I think that's fair, George. I think from an architecture perspective, I mean, it's just they're just going to be different data elements. It's not like, I don't think it's as if they're coming from other areas until and unless we get to a point where we want to say we want to append the statistical data from outside with something else, which is just a completely other conversation. You know what I mean? Like if we were going to add third-party data to it some way, shape, or form, I think that from an architecture perspective needs something. But if we're collecting, let's say, 40 attributes within the auto stat plan, and then we decide, look, we're going to add 10. Those attributes just get added on. And I think from an architecture perspective, that'll just be like butter.
Yeah, can we talk a bit about what we mean by architecture though? I want to make sure we're separating technical architecture from data architecture.
Good point.
So I'm all about data architecture. Just forget the technology for the sake of this conversation. So data architecture means to me, one of the things that we've been saying is let's not worry about history for now. Get your business model together and then you can put a layer of history architecture on top of that, right? And then you can have the old Kimball Inman fight and it's a good time. And so from an architectural perspective, there's also this question of flat versus relational versus how relational you get, right? And so we have the stat plan going today, right? And it's a flat model. And the challenge of the flat model is that it doesn't scale. So if I could produce the stat data with a highly normalized model, one could say, well, gee, all it does is put out the same stat data I got from that flat thing. What have I gotten? Well, you've gotten a much more scalable architecture. In other words, a flat architecture like you have in stat today at some point hits a wall. It just can't get by beyond a certain point, whereas a well-normalized model can scale. And so in my mind, the MVP has always been personal auto stat but with a robust model that can scale. And that's an architectural shift in the sense that, well, you can argue, well, gee, all I'm getting is the same thing I got out of a flat model. Yep, but you can scale, right? I can take a Formula One race car and go 10 miles an hour with it, just like I can with a bicycle. That bicycle is not going to get more about 20 miles an hour if I'm really good shape. That Formula One car is going to get 200 miles an hour once I hit the throttle. So to me, it's a question of scalability, and that's the architectural change.
So James, this is Mike Nurse. So in that case, then if you have the ability to scale, then we could potentially append the existing model to add attributes in the future. Things like data call, things that we capture today for data calls.
Yep. And you'll start to be able to attach them at the right grain, for example, right? So one of the problems with the flat stat model today is there's got to be 4 grains in there at least, right? And so, you know, when you try to stuff things in there, it gets kind of tricky. Whereas if you have a well-normalized model that understands that a vehicle and a driver are two separate concepts, and then you can put a new attribute in, you can say, well, wait a minute, is that a vehicle concept or is that a driver concept? You can breathe. Now, in a flat model, it's real easy. You just stick it on the end of the flat structure. Okay, but at some point, again, you can't go beyond a certain point. So to me, the normalization is one of the major aspects of this, because you can scale a model like the one we're seeing on the screen better than you can a flat model. You can understand the current flat model in like 30 seconds if you look at it. It's like, oh, it's beautiful. You look at this, you're like, wow, it takes you half an hour to even get your head straight around it. But that's the effect of the scalable design.
But all that stuff can be achieved with flat models too, right?
No.
You don't need normalization to have entity resolution.
And you get cross product explosion across time. If you put multiple notions into the same table, it gets explosively large at scale. So you physically can't at some point. That's the whole reason normalization exists in my mind.
I'm just saying we're going down to how do we want to implement it, right? To me, the debate's not, I don't think, about a normalized versus non-normalized model. That to me is an implementation detail, right?
Well, that's where we get the MVP, is that we're saying that we can take a flat file as our MVP, and that we can then perform the task we need for making these regulatory reports, taking in the existing flat model, and then we can normalize it. And then as we start to get more data elements become available, then we can stack them at the right place in the data model so that we can do complex queries.
I think we might have skipped over, I don't know if we got resolution to the first half and we're already skipping over to how do we implement this. I don't know if anyone else feels that way, but that's kind of where what I'm feeling is. I don't know if I really understood what we just discussed and got a resolution to that, and we're jumping into an ERD already. Why?
Well, let's not jump into that. That's just kind of showing how the flat model can transform into the ERD. That hasn't even presented as something.
So David, what's that step in the middle then?
I mean, it sounds like I thought we had it resolved last time, right? I thought we all agreed last time that, you know, we could use what we have for the auto stat plan as the data source or the data model going forward. Or initially for day one, I think we're calling it day one at the time. And knowing that the end goal, and please anyone jump in here and correct me if I'm going off script, the end goal was eventually to undo some of the mappings to get to the primary data sources so that we have less on our plate in terms of specific mappings and codings, et cetera. But we would use the existing auto stat plan as the initial step. I thought we all agreed to that.
But are you saying you want to build all that code into this process now and then strip it out later?
No, this was supposed to be the easy way, is we don't have to build any code in, right?
Agree.
Then we just start there, right? And then eventually we would add the complexity, but we needed to. But I think that none of that requires us making decisions necessarily on what that implementation detail looks like.
Yeah, so you're talking about using the flat structure to start?
But it's not even about the structure. It's about the elements. What's the data that is needed at this point in time? Forget about the structure and the implementation. And I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just didn't feel like, I felt like we had all that sorted last time we had this call. Sounds like we kind of opened up some questions here. We had a chart, and then we never resolved the questions.
So David, when you talk about the coding, you're talking about the fact that today that flat file, the data we provide is in codes, and that we would start out using it that way. So I think to George's point is we wouldn't be adding coding, but what we would be doing is using the codes as defined today, and ultimately we would have to convert those into words. Is that what we're talking about?
I mean, but I think we could talk about that later. I guess when that Lucid chart thing came up, I thought we were talking about, you know, the value prop for every entity. I thought it sounded like we restarted that conversation, right, with those three columns. And then we didn't really come to a solution on that conversation, which is fine by me because I thought we had this conversation 2 weeks ago. But I just got confused when we started going into this. Okay, here's how we will you know, yeah. I mean, the discussion we just had the last 5 minutes isn't really the important part. It's the implementation decision we make.
So what is the important part though? Yeah, but see, in my mind, so we had the list of all the business elements, right? And I thought we were relatively stable on that. And nothing's permanent, it's all iterative, right? But in order to do anything, you have to implement. And so I thought we said, okay, we got that list of elements, good. Now you do need a structure to put it in a database so you can actually put it on a node and actually start to query the thing. So I think we are past that point. Not that anything's done, but that's like, okay, we had that list of elements. But the first thing you have to ask when you have that list of elements is, well, how do you structure? Because then you do have to implement it and you do have to run it somewhere. Because I thought we were already farther down that path. So I'm agreeing with you. We did do that.
Right, with you, James. Are we saying that we're good with the AIS auto stat plan?
Yes.
And now we're on to the next step. I guess that's the big question. You know, I saw it in the chart. It's there. Is everybody nodding their head and saying, yes, I don't think we're there yet. And I think we need, just like David's saying, we need to get there before we start going into the other paths.
We do, but I thought we were there.
I agree.
I agree.
I did too, right. But this meeting makes me think we're not, because we're having this discussion.
And that's why I asked you that, Robin. That's why I asked you, do we have a fork in the road?
Two weeks ago, George started the meeting off saying kind of, you know, he was not seeing the value in utilizing the stat plan as it was as a base. And we had a half hour discussion at the beginning of that, talking about those ideas, and then George had to run. And we decided that we were going to take the Friday off, we were going to come back today, and we were going to make sure that we were all on the same page.
Okay.
What I was getting at there, Robin, is you know, the week before we started, we got into this huge mess of, oh, we're going to hard code this, that's what we do today. And I was just like, why are we doing this? Why are we, you know, talking about hard coding information when we should just, you know, it's there, you know, we should just be putting the data in that is there and not making hard coding, you know, a state with a number. And so, you know, just keep it, you know, that simple, but there's other areas that are hard coded that it just doesn't make sense to continue, you know, doing that kind of stuff. Let's build it so it's the data comes in, it's simplified, and mm-hmm. you're not having to hard code it.
Yeah.
So I think that the thing, George, there is, it is hard coded already. So if we want to do something quicker, you'd have to keep the codes. If you want us to change the codes to words, that's time. So I think that's something the group needs to decide. Like yeah, how
and I would say that would make it. That would be time well spent, because I think doing the, you know, just replicating the hard coding, you know, we know that a lot of states don't use the information already. And so let's create it and put it in a usable struct format for the companies and for the regulators. Jeff has his hand up too.
Oh, sorry, Jeff, I'm going to just a second, but I think a big issue, and Sandra, I definitely would love you to step in, but a big issue is that right now there's a lot of ambiguity in the various reports that we're turning in. So like we might have incurred loss with an underscore in all lowercase. Somebody else might have incurred loss with uppercases in a space. So you have this ingestion problem from varied sources. So that one of the first places of extreme value that we can add is if we just all get down to everybody having the same keys, then all of a sudden the ingestion problem gets much simpler. If we can just
data dictionary, you know, that's one of the things we need to build is a data dictionary.
So we have voted on a data dictionary, right? Do we need to revote on another data dictionary? Because we voted on one about a month ago.
Okay, where is it? Is it on the wiki?
That is on the wiki, yes.
Okay. All right. It sounds like we have that. Jeff, do you have your hand up or?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jeff. Go for it.
No, I was just going to say that in starting with the auto as a simple starting point, it's not so much a distinction between a flat file and a relational database. One of the things you look at is what are some of the core concepts that will carry over to other lines of business. You're going to have policies. You're going to have claims. You're going to have customers. And if you establish a starting model that deals with auto in that way, then you can move to other lines of business and add on to that model, as opposed to just having a lot of separate disjoint stat reports in the end. So I think that the efforts to logically model the information requirements is separate from figuring out exactly what relational tables you're going to necessarily use. And I think that work has been progressing fairly well. A lot of the data calls in the future might be multi-line calls. And so instead of just doing a single line. And so I think there's benefit in taking the data modeling approach initially, even if it's just auto, to understanding that those core classes that make up what that data looks like is not just a flat spreadsheet, but there is some fundamental structure there. That's, mm-hmm. that's my only real point.
And I guess my comment is that when we do that, it's fine to start with the stat reporting that we do today. What I think adds value is to start looking at what are we going to publish out? Maybe we don't publish out the stat reporting that we do today because we know that only four states have it hard coded into their statutes that they want the stat handbook elements reported. And even those elements are not that robust, right? They're less than what gets reported in the statistical reports. So what I would recommend is to take a look. Let's take a look at it. It's now kind of relevant to understand if we were to complete the stat reporting, do some of these elements that are in the stat reporting, might not have to do all of them. Put them in a way that eventually they can be scaled up or down, but they have a core relationship perhaps between other lines of business, and start understanding what the output is going to look like, because it's not as governed for me to send a zip file or file on SURF in any particular way in most states. What can we do to bring a value to both in that MVP? So I guess I'm agreeing with all of you. I'm just saying it's time to do some work around what we will be giving at the end of that MVP to say we proved we did stat reporting through the open IDEA.
So I put a little bit of thought into that. And what I was thinking was that we were going to be producing the auto coverage and the auto territory report for the various states that are participating. And that's kind of the MVP that I was kind of working toward, which is why I really like the idea of taking the AIS stat plan as it exists. And then we can say that's generation zero. And let's kick that off to the AWG and the TSC and tell them, hey, make this work. I think that satisfies our charter. And then we can start to say, okay, do we want to figure out how do we go really deep into auto, or do we say, let's go to homeowners and go get some homeowner stuff done because everybody wants to see what's going on with homeowners. So to me, that's kind of really, that's where I'm coming from at least.
Yeah, this is Dale. I agree with Peter. We're at a chicken versus the egg thing where we can do the data modeling all we want, but if we don't have the infrastructure in order to be able to actually produce anything and extract information from our harmonized data store, then all of the work being done for data modeling is going to be for naught.
Yeah, and that's why I've said in the past that the architectural aspects of the plumbing and the data modeling are intertwined. They have to progress somewhat in parallel and inform each other.
So then, let's see, do we have, I know we've already taken a fair bit of votes, but do we have, at this point, do we have objections on that plan, or should we be really kicking the data dictionary that we made and just say, hey, we're taking the AIS stat plan and saying we want to make reports with it, and we can write any extract, and then they have to figure out the extraction plan and how to make that happen.
Can you repeat that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I said, do we have any objections to me taking the AIS stat plan as it exists with the addition of the NAIC's annual statement line, so we get the proper things on it, And we take that, we kick that off, and I go to the AWG on Monday and I say, here's the MVP. This is what I need. This stat report, just like this, so that we can produce auto coverage and auto territory reports.
And Peter, by doing that, I'm trying to think of what, you know, Brian and David and James have said. By doing that, and mind you, my limited knowledge of this, you know, when we're talking some of the language that everyone's using is a little, you know, hard for me to make sure I understand correctly. But when you say take the stat plan as is, does that leave it open? Are we programming down just the stat plan as is? Are we programming it down in a way that James was, I think, discussing, to make it so it's easily modifiable later to add other data elements to it? Or are we just programming the stat plan currently the way AAIS presents it, and then therefore we have to redo this work later if we want to add things? I think that's the part I need more clarification on before I say yay or nay or on anything. And I think that was what James and Brian and David were kind of talking about. And so if I've, you know, summarized what you guys were talking about incorrectly, please let me know. But I think we all agree we'd like to produce something. We'd like to be able to show, I know I would like to be able to show my group something that, you know, because this is not going to get sold to other regulators if there's not an output, so, or to other companies. So I understand the need to get there. But my question becomes is, do we want to make our AAIS stat plan in a format that is, even if we only use the stat plan data elements, in the format that we can easily add on to later to add all the other things that we discussed in our data dictionary, in our, you know, all our data elements in that spreadsheet we all talked about for weeks and weeks?
Yes. So
what are you meaning, I guess?
That's the key question.
I can definitely speak to that. So we were talking, I believe, at TSC and AWG last week about the nature of an extraction plan. So we know that the versioning of the models is going to change as we add more attributes. And we know that certain extraction plans are only going to work via with certain versions of the model. So what we're saying here is we're making a generation zero model. This model will live as it is. Any extraction plan given that says it needs to be run on a generation zero model will be able to run against this. Then that normalized model is going to be a generation one model. Then any extraction plan that runs against generation one will be able to run against generation one, but it won't run against generation zero. There's going to have to be the multiple layers of versioning. And so what I'm saying is right now the carriers can already submit data to us in the stat plan. We can take it exactly as it is, and then we can decodify it and make it human readable with a business layer view. That's not really so hard. And so my thought is, let's just get the generation zero model going so we can get generation zero extraction plans going so we can show value with generation zero.
Yeah, it still doesn't answer the question. So what is the generation zero model? Is it the flat stat model, or is it the first shot of the normalized model?
So what we talked about generation zero was the flat stat model.
Okay.
And we know that generation one is not additive to generation zero because we have a change of all the codes. Right, they're no longer codes, et cetera. Right, that's when we go into one. So the reason we thought of generation zero in the way reason I believe Dale suggested is just as Susan also said, you guys create it that way already, right? We can get going quickly, right? But there is a migration plan. If we want to take that same data and move it into generation one, we either reload it or we migrate it, right? Based on the rules that we come up with. We may put in place some of the decoding as from generation zero to do some of the reporting. I think that's an implementation detail that the architecture work group will have on its plate. It's like, given generation zero is the stat plan, can we do these two reports? And then as responsible architects, we'll try not to make a bunch of work for ourselves that we have to completely throw away.
The one caveat I would say to that is using our original stat plan, yes, a state might come in as 46, but definitely we're going to have a view that sits on top of it. So when you read it, it says Washington.
Will you also be able to take that and with the established data dictionary that you have, those elements map into the data dictionary? And this is the lawyer talking, so I don't know what I'm talking about is what I'm telling you. But you know what I'm saying? So that you have that you starting to look at this data, not as AAIS's stat plan, but as a universally accepted, this is what this means?
For a lot of that, yes, it'll work that way. But some of the things like what Susan's talked about with other coverages, it's not provided, right? We can't make coverages out of thin air. So there's some semantical differences that are not mappable with, but.
Okay, we'll deal with those as they come though, right? I mean.
Yeah,
I think in my simple head, it's we've got the data elements from the auto stat plan. So my hope and my understanding prior to today was we agreed to that. We're going to use those data elements. Then there's the, is it a flat file? Is it a relational? I'm going to let James and David fight that out and decide. I want it to be very easily extracted into different ways, shapes, forms, and relate.
Okay.
And then from there, we establish new data elements. And we decide as a group what those are going to be, and we can produce something that's more robust. But that's where I was coming in.
Okay.
What's that timeline look like? What are we, you know, when we look at that timeline, what are we looking at? You know, flat file version, you know, zero, meeting the stat plan reporting that is done today versus next gen stat plan. And then the next data elements. What are we, you know, when you look at that, what kind of time horizon are we looking at?
And I think what's important there, though, is a distinction that we haven't made, that this is still to demonstrate value, right? All of those things are to show that this can work. But the desire is not to just do that one and say it's production and it's great. And we're going to, that is more to show that the pieces of the technology and the use case will work if we then go from Gen 0 to the thing that's Gen 1 or Gen 2, like George is asking for, like I'm advocating for. That distinction, I think, is what led to all the confusion over the last 6 months, that mm-hmm. The idea is let's get something working. I have no desire to get something working. I have a desire to show that this has value so I can go back and get the resources I need to eventually get it working, right? Because I'm going to tell you, I can't sell very easily all this effort for it works like it does today, right? That's tough. Does that make sense? That's the distinction I think we just kind of undid a little bit when we said we're going to go back to the architecture working group and say, we're doing this, build it. No, right? That's not what we're saying, I hope.
No. Well,
what you described makes sense to me.
Well, then I don't see the point in continuing to do the modeling here until the architectural working group has a plan.
Well, I mean, I think I think the reason we make doing the modeling here is we all agreed to go faster. Let's just go with what we got and let's build it with what we got, knowing that that's not going to be an acceptable end state. So, but let's not, you know, sit here and talk about it anymore, because we know that we can go to Gen 2 or Gen 1 or Gen whatever, Gen Plus.
Sure.
And that's the discussion happening here as we go forward with what we agreed on last few weeks is like, let's just go, right? Yeah. But we have to, in parallel, be getting ready for Gen 1 and Gen 2 or whatever on God's green earth we're calling it.
Sure.
Here. And I thought what's really frustrating is I feel like we've had this discussion once a month for the last 3 months.
Okay. I apologize if I stirred up the hornet's nest with this.
No. I think it's good clarity that, you know, I think every time we bubble it up, we get a little closer, but.
Yeah.
And can I give an example just to make sure we're all talking about the same thing? I think what George said before makes perfect sense. And I think, David, you're saying the same thing, right? Like, why are we going to shove in? So now I got a field that, do I have a discount? It's 1, 2, or 9. So today I send 1, 2, or 9. And we're all saying, like, does that make sense to even work with that? No, I think I'm hearing no, right? So now we either wait for me to turn 1, 2, 9 into yes, no, maybe. But then I thought I heard Ken say, well, and Peter say, like, if you send me 1, 2, 9 and Hartford sends 1, 2, 9, everyone sends 1, 2, 9, because it exists at this moment that they could turn it into yes, no, maybe, or turn Connecticut 06 into Connecticut. But it's kind of like one or the other, right? Because otherwise we're either still using the code. So either the insurers have to make those changes, get going and make those changes, or we send the codes in and someone over the top is going to uncode all of those fields.
Yes. And we're going to do it consistently with what we have as a guidepost from the AIS stat plan, but understanding that that plugs into a greater dynamic and we have to start writing the words to that that match the what's in the data dictionary. Yes?
Yeah. I'm not sure I understood what you just said.
Well, so actually, Susan, I did a lot of that. I don't remember what proof of concept I was working on to do that, but took stat plan data and converted it into something more word-like, but the words to use are still to be defined, right? Because they're just text out of our stat plan that I pulled out, right? We didn't decide what is the name of, you know, BI. Is it BI or is it BizInt or is it business interruption, right? Those things have to be defined in that data dictionary before we can even decide what to map to or how to provide it directly.
I think we did about 85% of those. We just never finished those last couple fields and voted, right?
Yeah, I know we have some of them for sure. Yeah.
I think
in my understanding, that's the work that will continue via this group over the next few months as we are on the architecture working group implementing this day zero thing, right? That was my understanding. So I think Susan, you hit it right on the head because it's not going to make a lot of sense for us to turn all our data into codes, put the codes in, and then have AIS unturn those data out of the codes. That's not going to make a lot of sense. But if we can figure out this all works, that the ability to extract data, transform it, generate a stat plan from it, if that all works, then what the data we put in can evolve once this team decides what that should look like. So in a weird way, the same thing that took 9 and made it Connecticut will give us confidence that Connecticut can be made 9 for the stat plan, right? So we could almost use the flaw as a test to undo it later. Was kind of what I was thinking how this could go because we were saying we want to speed up. That's in my mind what's happening here. We're taking this existing data to get going, proving the technology and the use case while the working group here finishes up, like you said, I think you guys did 85% of it, finishes that up. And then I think Dale even suggested maybe we move on once that's done to HO or something for the next one based on the learnings from auto. And I thought, I mean, that seems...
Yeah, I think we're ready to move on to HO. I think we're ready. I don't think there's much more for us to build out with the auto stuff.
I think that that's about right, too. Yeah, so this is all good. And it's great to hear, David, I'm excited to get to the AWG on Monday and be on that level because I wasn't totally sure that we had 100% nailed all the nails in the coffin on saying let's take the stat plan as it is with the codes and run with it. Because I know George had problems with that before, but I think that's a really short path to victory. So that's
not. And I think what makes George and I on the same page though is that's not durable. That's sure. A stopgap to get moving. Right. I want to be very clear that. That's not a long-term thing that we want to put codes in this thing, right? Like that are we all clear on that? Because I think sometimes that gets lost.
I know I'm clear on it.
There's two levels of proof of concept. Get the plumbing working and then get the model, it using the model we all like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I think that's consistent with where we've been going.
Okay, cool. Well, we're going to get all that written down and get an actual chart.
Something about the status of the current auto, right? Like Susan said, we did a lot of the values. Is it worth getting the rest of the values defined in the model that we have? Like the, you know, what the names of the coverages are, what we, whatever those codes are that we're talking about, right? So that if we do choose during this process to take the stat plans and move it into a little bit better model, without the codes as part of this first proof of concept, then we could actually know what codes to put them into. Cause right, you know, the stuff that I've done is just, it's sometimes it's 20 words because that's what's in the stat plan. It's stupid. So,
so then we're looking at do we want to do day one and day two then? Then do the enumerations or just do all the enumerations for the initial ones?
I think it's day one enumerations. Okay. Just so that we can go there if we think it makes sense during this first stage.
We've done a lot of them, but we can definitely sew that up next week. I can prepare for that.
right.
Okay. So let me ask this question because, and it looks like Jeff has a comment. Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I was just going to say that if you're going to have a harmonized data model, then it's you agree upon the terms that everybody's going to use, whether or not you use a one or a two or an A or a B or some enumerated set of three or four or five acronyms. That's just agreement upon codes. Once you do agree upon those codes, that will become your harmonized data model. It'll be somewhat difficult to change it later if you have something else you have in mind. But those are details because those are just the data elements. The only thought that might go into this that I've seen is if there are categories like other that people want to maybe break out a little bit more for future flexibility, that you could say, well, here's how we might do that in the future if we wanted to add something. Mm-hmm. But I think the point about using existing codes versus redefining those domain names or the enumerated values of those codes to be more readable, that might be nice to do if it makes sense to do for others that might want to use that. But it's not the real fundamental nature of how you're going to organize or process that data, I don't think.
Well, I think you're going to have to, though, Jeff, because part of the problem that we have is that there are right now, four or five stat reporters, and all of them have a different path to glory, right? They call it different. So part of this work does have to be around deciding truly what the element is, right? And yes, a true.
You got to standardize it. You can't have that. Yeah, right. That's what we have to drive toward. Right. Getting rid of each of the three or four stat agencies coding something differently. Exactly. Yeah, we want to call this a boy. It's a boy. It's not a 002 or a 001 for a girl.
Well, the name of the element, it has to be clearly defined and what that means semantically. The enumerated values for the codes, you can certainly agree upon what those mean and publish those. It makes it a lot easier if you have something that's readable as opposed to a number, but it doesn't have to be.
That's the crux of this, though, is we want to make sure it's semantic, right? We don't want to pick esoteric codes, right? We want to make sure that as carriers, when we put data in,
right,
even if all stat agents call it something different, that's moot for us because it's well-defined what that means in the HDS.
That's right.
And if people want to come in outside of us and add value by translating the semantic things to these goofy codes for every agent, that's fine. But that's kind of the value we want to get to. And that's why I'm so insistent that we don't do 09 or 38 or 7B.
No,
because I think that's where we see a lot of the value, I mean, going forward.
Yeah.
Well, like all
do
data.
Do you want
models-
me to have Melissa bring that list up? The auto, so we can look at where we were?
Yeah, that'd be great, Susan. Thank you.
I mean, in the simple data models you've worked on, you've got the name of the field, you've got a description and definition, you've got some possible enumerated values. That's all part of the semantic definition of what those things are. And I thought that work was done, what I observed in the past, was all done very well in terms of identifying the information. Mm-hmm. The actual names that you choose are somewhat arbitrary, as long as they're somewhat readable, and you can agree upon them, they'll work with most implementations. The implementation is not so much the issue, it's just the definition.
Yeah. Okay. So what I heard, yes, and then I want to talk about some of George's questions, but we will start day zero with the statistical data elements that we currently have in the AIS plan that we have these folks reporting on, so we can get to a value driven. In that process, we will understand the relationship between that and what we defined here in this data dictionary, right? So that we get to a model that we can say, yes, you know, is done. The group will keep working through some of those elements to finalize auto, but then we probably should look at the universal applications and start maybe homeowners or soon thereafter. And then in the architecture from day one to the next generation, we have to start thinking about those things being implemented in a relational model. And then that kind of brings me to my question, which is George's questions. And Ken, it might be kind of impossible to get ballpark, but what is the timeline for the zero implementation of the publishing out.
Yeah, that's a question for the architectural group, because that first thing is going to include the updates to the architecture that working group decides as part of the MVP. And that's not very clear right now.
Okay, so the architectural committee, I would like to see them kind of map out that timeline for us.
Yeah, we have a backlog that we're working to make decisions on.
Okay.
Once we have decisions on enough of them, then we can start building a timeline. I'd be hard pressed to give a timeline before.
Okay. All right.
Agreed on.
That is something we want to know, right? Because we don't, you know, now George, here's what I think I can say though, is that this will get, and then give us some time to look at the, what extraction pattern, what you want to deliver as a product, so that Sandra and George can actually find a value, right, to drive this work at the NAIC level to sync up. So, you know, that I think there also has to be some work going on around the dashboard, what it's going to look like. And we're interested in doing that from AIS ourselves, so that we can deliver something that is a great deal more benefit to this process than what we found in our research is happening. I'm glad this is recorded, because I have no idea what I just said.
Yeah, nobody wrote that yet.
Peter can listen to it later.
Let's remember this date and time.
Okay. I think that is consensus, unless someone tells me that is not a plan they can live with.
Okay, well, seconded, or I don't know what the right terminology is, but that agreed.
Agreed. Okay. Speak now or forever hold your peace, I think is what the vow is. And so this will be what I'd like to see, Peter, and you know, just some cross information from the architectural committee, is some rough timelines around build out. And that, so that when we go into that steering committee meeting in May, we can start to put it in a place where people can see what finished is, or what finished will be. Finished for the moment though, David. Finished for that segment, right? It's a marathon, not a sprint. Although there is sprints involved if you're rallying. So,
this is Joan. I've just been listening in the entire time. I thought the conversation was really good, and I think we have come up with a plan. I was expecting some woot woots at this point. So I want to make sure. Do we have consensus here that this is a plan? Do we know what the plan is? Do we need some sort of documentation for people to say yes? Because it's kind of deafening silence on, do we have a plan? I'm hoping the answer is yes, but if not, what do you need?
I think we agree. I think Peter just needs to produce the minutes that then we can all point back to, so that we don't have to have the conversation.
It's like an NAIC meeting, Joan. You know, whenever there's silence, that means there's agreement.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
No.
Silence
means there's passive aggression. Let's be clear. No, I'm not kidding. Don't laugh. I'm not kidding.
Keep talking.
No, half of silence is golden, half of silence is deadly, and you don't know which half. So I just want to be careful.
It's still a work. It's still a work.
You have an agreement from me. So, and I think Sandra is on board. You know, I think I agree with the comment that, you know, let's prove it and do what we need to prove this concept and get the win there, and then let's, you know, move as quickly as we can into the next gen.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
The capturing as much momentum, and even in of things we don't throw away in zero, right? In the first step, in the first generation, as much as we can carry forward because we know where we want to go.
Well, I mean, zero gives you a good baseline, right? And so I'm a fan of that, and I'm glad we're doing exactly what we're doing. Because the question is going to be, can you balance back against a known good place? And so if we're doing the stat model out of the current stat model, which is largely what we're doing with all the embedded codes and everything else, that's good. And that gives you the baseline. There's no value add, if I understand what we're doing, because it's the same thing we're sending today, right? We're using the exact same structure, but we get, I guess, two new reports out of it, correct? So MPP one, which I guess we're calling Gen zero, mm-hmm. is the flat model with two reports off of it. Fair?
Yes. Can I comment to the no value, though?
Yeah.
I actually think there is value. Because if we all know that we don't want to use the old stat plans, but we've heard from members of this group that the easiest way for them to help us move forward is to use what they're already collecting and have ready for us. So I think there is value in that we are going to pull together the data and the technical architectures around this first version. And we have made progress. I think it's a great deal of progress. And then on top of that, the other value is we know where we're starting, right? We finally yep. have this place, and you can start incrementally adding little improvements over time because you know where you're starting from. So I still think it's not the ultimate place where we would like to be, no. but it would take us too long to design that without experience. And so I think this conversation where we ended up, from my perspective, is really great, exactly. even though it sounds like some folks might be a little bit deflated because we're using old stat data, but it's kind of like we won't make any steps at all if we're waiting for the ultimate design.
100% agree. And that is exactly the value yeah. proposition. I agree 100%.
Yeah. So can we just restate that MVP with the one thing I think you missed, James? So it's personal auto, mm-hmm. two reports from the original stat plans, new architecture.
Then we're saying something different. What do you mean by new architecture? Technical architecture?
Yeah, the technical architecture, the working group.
That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, technical architecture is fine. Okay, but the data architecture is still the flat model.
Right, fair enough.
Yep. Yeah, but one more caveat. The output is going to look different for this than just what we send today. I agree with Joan. There is value intrinsically in what we're doing, but I think if we think about what the report looks like, it will give some greater value.
So are we going to then do what Peter was saying, which is change the data, which is still going to be the old codes of 1, 9, and 4, the example someone is using, and the reports are going to have the yes, no, maybe, or
we're gonna, is that what we're saying? Have to look at that. I think we're going to have to look at a design for a dashboard.
So James, definitely what I had in mind was just kind of like a Kimball model and just looking at what, almost looking at the stat plans like a raw table, then having some business stuff on top of that so that when business users are looking at the data, it's human readable.
And can I just throw out one of the things that we were talking about originally, and I'm not sure where this fits in. It might not fit in the, you know, Gen Zero, but the transactional reporting capability, which, you know, that will be a huge win, and being able to have it information, getting that information more quickly will be a huge win.
Mm-hmm. Well, whether or not you store flat files or lots of relational tables, you are going to use a relational database management system to store information. And so there's always going to be some degree of what the way that you organize that data that is the most appropriate to allow it to be extended. You don't just right. want to store COBOL records. You don't want one long record with everything in it. I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
When you say transactional, George, are you talking policy transaction?
Yeah, it's just like as when we were talking about the, you know, when Eric had his Excel spreadsheet up there, you know, being able to feed that information. And I think this is more next gen.
Yes.
Being able to take, you know, transactional data and trying to get at some of this, you know, we had the conversation in the stat reporting group and how long it takes, you know, company, you know, for AIS and the different agencies, stat reporting agencies, to it's like up to a year and a half to get the data, sent in. ISO said they could do it. What was it? 17 months or?
It's because of reconciliation, George, not because of the processing. It's because in order for it to be good, we've got to measure it against the annual financial reporting, and we don't get that until May of the following year. Right.
All right.
Well, when you get it from your customers varies by stat agent.
This is probably a whole nother conversation.
Exactly.
Everybody has the same statutory reporting obligations. Again, some of them are quarterly, some they don't do in states that do different things. They may not be subject to catastrophe calls that we don't do in stat agents. So each company, their obligation for regulatory reporting is different.
So George, I would just say transactional, yes, next generation.
Yeah, but I do think we can get to greater speed around what we're looking at. I agree that the whole idea around the reconciliation to the financials is a something for another day, because I think if we can get a cadence, right, eventually, as we evolve this, a cadence that's much quicker, I think that's going to happen. We don't even have to lift on that one, because that's going to happen with the harmonized data store being in place.
Right. Well, and keeping in mind, we already get transactional data, so we're not going to make it less transactional than it is, so we'll still have it there.
Right. Can I go back? I'm afraid to open this can of worms, but when we're talking about, when we're talking about generation zero, and I'm hearing people say it's not valuable, and then other people are saying it is valuable. I think, is it valuable? Because who is it valuable for if a lot of people are saying it's not? And do we just keep working towards generation one?
So this is Sandra.
Yeah.
So I think my understanding from our last call was some of the carriers, not you, but other carriers, were needing to justify the amount of time put in and what are they able to show up the ladder at their company for. What is this, group, where are we going with this, right? And then as the regulator, I also need to justify my time working on this group as, kind of the idea of the generation zero to me is like a proof of concept. It shows where we're going in the sense that, that output that Robin keeps talking about, the fact that most states don't use the data in the format that it is now, but if the output was, maybe an interactive, I can kind of pull the data that I need for, my legislature data call or this data call, because it's not just a flat piece of paper PDF that is sent to me by Robin's team that I, put in a folder, and it's more, I can, manipulate the data and look at it in different ways, then it might, be easier for us to show it to other regulators, to bring this option to the stat data reporting group as we work on my other team regarding the stat data, handbook and what it includes and what data elements it includes. I feel like, to get that conversation going on my end and maybe on some of the company ends about this kind of change, we need something, we need to produce something. And absolutely, if somebody else, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was my understanding why we were talking about speeding it up and doing kind of this generation zero.
Okay, that's very helpful. And then Peter, I just want to make sure that generation zero includes the kinds of things that Sandra just said. Reports. Yes. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, we're going to start, I think, with those two reports and start to have a visualization for those two reports. Mm-hmm. But I do think we can test the system along with other types of data calls or things that's, the regulators say, it'd be really nice to know. And we may or may not have enough data mapped to answer that question, but we might be able to get halfway there, which is more than they're able to do today without doing an independent data call. And here's what I will say. Every technology project I've ever worked on, when you got into and started building these first generations, and you should always expect that there's going to be value you didn't know was there and things you can do that you didn't know you could do. At least that's from the layman's perspective, not the technologist's perspective. I'm always surprised at when you plan well and when you think through things well on a baseline, what it the pathways it provides forward for in so many ways that you never even contemplated.
Yeah, the only thing I would add is even though the desire to show the plumbing working is quite a good objective, I would not sacrifice too much of the effort to do some degree of fairly consistent standardization of what the data means, what those elements are before you try to move on. Because if you just try to do something too quickly with that, just to get to the point of saying, does the plumbing work? It would be very hard to come back and revise a lot of things in the future if they should have been done in a more clear way now, which is, you know, largely already been done to a large degree.
You know what I'd like to see, because I think that's a part of the acceptance criteria, is Peter, we need to work on these minutes to have an acceptance criteria so everybody can see that, what we talked about today. Okay. The Gen Zero will have these elements, right? We will do these things.
Okay. Sure.
What does Burns and Mr. Martin say about Capital Department? Quote, on January 10th.
I think someone's camera or Michael's was not on. Okay. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be spending some time going through these minutes, and we're going to get a bunch of stuff written up from it.
Okay.
So, Peter, does that mean so? Because I was going to ask this earlier when this similar to what Robin said, because when we're talking about accepting the minutes, does that mean we're going to, you know, you're going to kind of lay out so it's very clear what Generation Zero is, and then we vote on it? Because that's because I feel like that would answer a lot of folks' questions on the call. Okay.
I like that, Sandra. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's definitely something I can work on.
I think we have.
I can hopefully have that next Friday. I'm just trying to think of what other things I have going on. I think I've got a couple reports that I've got to make sure to get out the door, but I think I've got capacity to get that by next Friday.
But is that the working group or is that the steering committee that has to vote on
Again, let's not vote. We have come to a place where we've agreed on the bigger picture. Some of these acceptance criteria will be trying to incorporate the things that people understand to make it a valuable exercise for zero and one. We can revisit those. I would like that to be finalized for the May 10th meeting and that be accepted and any further discussion at the steering committee. I think this is where we need to go. Most of the people in the steering committee are on this call, so they understand what we're talking about here. That will be to help formalize this so we can put it in more public domains like with Sandra's group and other places.
Mel, do you have the day two attributes on there?
Melissa, you mean?
Melissa, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought Mel was doing it. I'm so sorry.
That's fine. Yeah, I have day two.
Yeah, so can I clarify a question on that?
Yeah.
So we're talking about the flat model that just does stat. Is that in like the form that we send today or in some of the new definitions we have here? Is it 100% like the old fashioned 1, 2, 4 or is it some of the new stuff we talked about here? Yeah.
I mean, it's 100%.
I'd like, so the write up that I was going to write up, which will definitely be subject to polishing by the group would be, I'd like to make it so that you guys can send. I think that we can have a next iteration of a proof of concept where we're saying, "Hey, we've made these two reports via our network, and if we do it, I think I'm personally in the camp of let's keep it exactly how it is."
Okay. All right. Yep. Just clarifying. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's right. That's Generation Zero is all codes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As they are today.
Gen One's going to be unpacked, and then Gen Three is going to be. With the bonus features or bonus, new attributes.
Yeah. So when you say new attributes, are you talking day two or are you talking expected values?
Oh yeah. I like day two stuff. Like, so our generation three model is going to have day two attributes.
So when are we changing to expected values?
So that's going to be all about going from Gen Zero to Gen One.
Yeah.
That unpacking process.
Ah, okay. So unpacking, I thought meant some of the unpacking fields. Okay. So Gen 2 is not, I wouldn't use the word unpacking. Gen 1 is expected values.
Okay. Sure.
And Gen 3 is day 2 fields.
Yep. But again, I'm gonna take some time to get this all written up well, and then I'll have it. I'm hoping to have it written up on the, and then have that document on the agenda. So I'll have that sent out Thursday, so you guys can review it Friday morning before the meeting, or at the meeting. We'll review it at the meeting as well.
Yeah, I'm not asking for these acceptance criteria to be anything more than a memorialization of than what we've just talked about, so that everybody can nod their head. Yeah, that's what I, because a lot of times what I say is not what you heard, but if you read it, there's should be more clarity around that, so that everybody can have an agreement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like the initial stuff's not going to have the policy address, but then when we start talking about the Generation 3 model, we'll start to see some of these attributes showing up.
Peter, it might be good also just to give some definition about the alternatives that were discussed.
Okay. Yeah, I'll probably even reach out to you some next week, Jeff. We'll talk about some of that in depth.
Okay.
Hey, guys, I got to jump on another call, but this has been good.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, unless somebody else, does anybody else have stuff they want to add? Because I think we're in a good spot. And next week I'll have a big write-up on what all we talked about. Does anybody have anything else?
No, again, I think as far as, you know, steps moving forward, we mm-hmm. have to finalize the list of expected values.
Sure.
Then we have to move to homeowner, day one, day two expected values. I think we already have a straw man ready for that one to get started on. So maybe we Great. Need to get back to some of this nitty gritty stuff.
Okay. Well, that's fun. I always enjoy those conversations. So that's we'll start next week with a review of what was accomplished here today, and then we'll get right into it.
You found a way for me not to come back.
Good.
Okay.
Good. good. So, all right. Well, that sounds good. So everyone, I'll give everybody back a half hour. We'll see you next week. You should expect an email from me on Thursday, hopefully early.
Thanks.
All right, guys.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.